Today is June the 10th, 1981. This is Madeline Buble Kep interviewing Oscar, better known as Blue Havy, at his home on his farm above Rio Medina, Texas. I am interviewing for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project B. Okay. I don't know you by any other name, okay?
Yeah.
This is for the Castroville Library Project, and what they wanted me to interview you on mostly was recreation, what things you did as a young person and an older person for fun, the places you went and things you did. But first I want to get some family background. What were your parents' names?
Alex L. Havy and Murray Shutt.
And when were you born? What day?
1903.
And the date?
May the 18th.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have, Blue?
Well, I got three sisters and three brothers.
And what are their names?
Amelia, Amanda, and Selma. And Cornelius, and Floyd, and Clemens.
And where were you born?
I think at home. Where? Yeah, I know at home.
At home? Well, where did you live?
At our Rio Havy settlement. Havy settlement, yes.
Okay.
And our midwife always was old Lady Miller. She was a cousin. First cousin to Grandma.
To your grandmother, Havy?
Yeah, Miss Mann. Yeah, Grandma Mann. You know, Grandma Havy was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And this Miss Miller, their mother was a man.
Mm-hmm.
So they were first cousins ours, and Miss Miller was our midwife.
Well, where was she from?
Lacoste.
Lacoste.
The Miller's down there from Lacoste, yeah.
So she delivered the babies then?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
She delivered practically all of ours, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you the oldest of the family, or?
No, I'm the middle, about in the middle.
About in the middle.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, what did your dad do for a living?
Farming and ranching.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly ranching, yeah.
Do you, you mentioned this grandmother who was married a Havy, and her maiden name was Mann. Do
yeah.
you remember her?
Oh, yes, I remember Grandma Havy, yeah.
Can you tell me anything about her?
No, she was small, like most grandmas, like Grandma Shot. They're small little women, but they all died when I was pretty young, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did she ever tell you anything, any stories about the old country?
No, Grandpa Shot used to tell stories. You see, he lived with us 7 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything he told you?
Oh, yeah, he liked to talk about the old country. One time he told me, he says, he figured his grandpa was a big bower, big farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He said sometimes he said he had about 20 acres of fields. And he said sometimes he had as high maybe 20 acres of men, 20 men hired. He says, what did the men do? Spade over the field. With a spade. And I says, well, what did you plant then in that field? He says, potatoes. And I says, what did y'all usually eat? Potatoes 3 times a day.
You know, it hasn't changed yet. Yeah. It's still the same.
Yeah.
still
eat potatoes.
Right, and they still have the little fields.
Yeah, the little fields, yeah.
With a lot of people working.
Yeah.
What kind of recreation or fun things did y'all do at home as kids, young people, or what do you remember?
Well, my children used to ask me, Daddy, what did you do at home when you had no radio, no TV?
Mm-hmm.
They said, we worked till dark. Mm-hmm. And after dark, we went to bed because we had no light, kerosene light, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
There was not too much recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And Sundays, well, I remember my old buddies like A.O. and Tony Havy and them. Well, Ralph is still living yet. But on Sunday, we had no money. We'd get together and maybe a few dogs with us, and we'd roam the country, hunt mesquite tar and mesquite beans and anything that's sweet we'd eat. Along the river, we'd find mulberry bushes, fig bushes, and just we'd spend our whole Sunday afternoon running around.
You said mesquite tar?
Yeah.
What did you do with that?
Oh, you eat it. It's the sweetest sugar.
Really?
I haven't seen any in a long time. You get that. Sometimes you get a lump that big. And it's just the sweetest sugar. It's got a kind of a hard shell around it.
Uh-huh.
And inside the juice.
Well, is that, is it sort of like sap out of the tree?
It's sap out of the tree. And we find that, and we find sweet mesquite beans and yellow berries and everything we could find that sweet we need.
And that was your Sundays?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, because we had no money. You could have thrown the whole bunch upside down, not even a nickel would have fell out.
did your parents have a lot of company, or did they do a lot of visiting?
Not so much. Once in a while, somebody would come in a buggy, you know. And I remember sometimes, you know, relatives like out of the hills, skin folks would come. And we kids were shy. When a buggy would drive out, we'd hide behind the barns.
No kidding.
Yeah. Right. Finally, later on, they'd call us. But always, the company would eat first. That was them days. That was a must. And after the company was through eating, then they'd go sit in the living room or on the porch, and they'd call us, and then we kids would eat. Now the kids usually eat first.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, where did you go to school, Blue?
First 2 years at Rio Medina.
And what's the name of the Rio Medina school?
Between Four Seasons and Darwin's on the left.
Yeah, right. And then after that?
Well, after that, they decided the survey line runs says we belong to Yellow Banks. In Rio Medina, we had a road to walk, plain road. When we had the Yellow Banks, we had to go through the brush pastures. All brush pastures, we had to walk all the way.
Well, now, see, that Yellow Banks school is where Clarence Heagley lives. It's across from the old Higley home.
That's where I went then until I was seventh grade. Up there told me to stay home class.
So that was your education through the seventh grade?
About halfway through the seventh grade.
Well, how many months of the year did you go to school?
Oh, we had an all summer, probably 9 months.
You said you went
all winter, not
the full 9 months, probably.
Yeah.
Through the winter.
Yeah.
You said your dad told you you said you had to go through the brush. Did you have to cross the river?
Yeah, they chopped down a cypress tree and shipped it a little on top so it's flat. And then we walked across.
Oh,
yeah. These are the heavy kids and us. Me and Amanda, mostly. We walked across that log every morning, every evening. Well, it wasn't too deep, but so deep. We never fell in, that I remember.
3 feet deep.
Well, I don't think we ever fell in, I can remember. But all just brush and trails, no opening or nothing.
Did anything ever happen to scare you, like a snake or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I know one time we were coming home, me and Amanda from school, and we'd come running along. She says, I cannot run you from here to over there, that tree. And she was out running me. She bet, and there was a great big rattlesnake laying, and I could still see her yet. She seen it in time and jumped over it, and the snake struck at her, but she was too high.
Oh, my.
And I bet we throwed rocks at that snake for about half an hour in the brush, but we couldn't hit her right because she'd get in that brush. Great big old rattlesnake.
But nobody ever got hurt, really, or anything?
No. And one time we'd have little fishing attack laying along the river there, and we'd fish a little in the evening, grass up, and I got a fish hook in my finger.
Oh, dear.
And we had to walk all the way home. Amanda bit that string off, you know, and I held that string all the way home.
How did you get it out then, the fish hook?
My dad just taken a plier and forced it through and cut the barb off and then pulled it back.
Oh, I see.
It hurt a little.
Yeah, but that was one way to get it out without going to the doctor.
Yeah.
So then, when you got older then and you started to go out, say, to dances or something like that, where did you go?
Well, the first dances I remember we would go to is Albert Bax had a truck, flatbed truck, a Model T flatbed. And he'll get that truck and he'd drive, and maybe one or two would sit in front with him. It's about all one in my room, and the rest would sit in the back and hang their feet down on them, you know, on them dirt roads. You know how clean we were when we got to the dance?
Yeah. What, did he take all the neighborhood kids?
Yeah, whoever wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then where did you go?
Casterville.
What hall did you go to?
Well, I think it was the old Vernon's garden them days. It's so long ago. But I remember we'd go to that dance on that flatbed truck, sit there, and, well, maybe we didn't dance much. They must have stood around.
How often were those dances held?
They weren't so often, maybe once a month or something like that.
And when you say the old Vernon's garden, are you talking about where Kinnick Park is now?
Yeah.
Well, did you ever go to the Tregesser Hall?
Now, later on then, mm-hmm. but by then already, we were growing up a little mm-hmm. better.
But what you're talking about now is when you were, say, what, 16,
18
years
pretty
old?
Young, yeah.
Somewhere
pretty young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just passed the Knickerbockers, you know, but you wore long pants.
Well, what age was that when you got to wear long pants?
I think probably about 15 or so when you got past 12. Usually had to wear them Knickerbockers till about 12 years old, uh-huh. them days.
Uh-huh.
Then finally you got to wear long pants and boys, and you stuck your chest out.
Really, really grown up.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
By this time, you said working. Were you helping your dad on the farm?
Most all the time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, the way I made enough money to accumulate an automobile of my own is trash pecans.
Mm-hmm.
Rent pecan bottoms and gather pecans. Made enough money to buy corn. But otherwise, mostly worked at home and break young horses for spending money.
Was this pecan, you said you rented pecan bottoms, was mm-hmm. that a pretty big business around here?
Well, when the price was good, like 1936, I believe it was, the pecans were 13 cents a pound. And I made enough money in about 6 weeks' time to buy a new Model T, about $750, yeah. That was good money. But then later on, I made gathered pecans, and you barely made expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I know the last year in 1933, I gathered pecans. 1932, we got a nickel a pound for pecan. I didn't make no money at all.
Was that, you said, in about 26 when you had that good crop? Good, okay.
Yeah.
And you broke horses. Who did you do that for?
Oh, everybody. Your dad broke one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's where I was sitting. Then I held Madeline on my lap for the first day to know her. Yeah. Yeah, we went up there, me and Wichita, to get a gray mare to break for.
For Dad?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll say.
And you were 7 months old at that time. I never will forget it.
Then when did you get married, Blue? How old were you?
33, I was 29.
29 years old. Mm-hmm. And what was your wife's name?
Sorrow. Alma Sodom.
Alma Sodom. And did y'all have any children?
Yeah.
What are their names?
Janice and Laverne. Janice and Sharon. Janice, Laverne, Sharon Ann, and Arlene Marie. Three daughters.
All right. When you went courting Alma, what did y'all do for fun, to places to go?
We taught her lots of dances. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Queenie, Bandera, Castable, different places. Mm-hmm. We taught her dances.
Well, did y'all ever go to anything like box suppers? Did they have those? Do you remember that?
Yeah, they were a little bit out of style already when I went with them. Before that, it was awful, man, the box suppers.
Did you go to them? Did you go to any?
I went to some, yeah. Mm-hmm. But usually the guys with the most money got the girls, you know.
Well, how was this done? Did they just
The girl fixed the box, you know, and like their parents some day. I remember one time at Louisburg. You don't remember where the Louisburg school was? Right across from old Louisburg House.
Yeah, I remember it.
You do?
Yeah, I remember that little
over.
Building there.
Yeah, box over and them guys. Well, they kind of not in for gay pants, but he started with Fanny and they were aggravating him.
Mm-hmm.
And they pitched together money.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they made gay pants run up to $25 or something like that for Fanny's box. Just for meanness, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That was sort of I think a lot of them were trickish around here.
Yeah,
cool tricks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just, you know. They could have got another box, probably $3-4, but maybe less than that, but they just kept around gay balls then.
Well, did they have a dance when they had these box suppers?
I don't remember anymore whether they danced for sure or not, but I think at some place then they danced a little, though, don't know.
Well, when you and Alma married, where did you live then?
Oh, but Sodom.
At Sodom's,
yeah,
where was that at?
Up on the Verdina, up on the Verde Creek.
The Verde
Creek. You see, her mother was an invalid for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to live there.
And that's near Hondo?
Between Hondo and Bandera, just about halfway.
What did you do for a living then?
Well, we raised turkeys for the spending money and run cattle, that's all, and worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever needed help and to work, I was ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many years did you stay there on that farm then?
We lived there 7 years, till the Real Medina butcher shop opened, so we had a chance to lease that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's how you came to move to Rio Medina?
Come back to Rio. Ronnie Cedar came up there, and, you know, his brother killed himself, Johnny Cedar.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie came on up and said, we need a butcher, we need a man.
Mm-hmm.
And just before that, my mother-in-law died.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe a month before, so she died. So, and we didn't know where we want to go, but we know we ain't going to stay there. We want to leave. And Riley came on up and said, Riley made us that promisation. He says, we'll build your house. So we built that little house there for us. And we went down there and we butchered there 10 years.
So you stayed there. You stayed there at Rio Medina 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you're probably doing better financially. You've got a business.
Yeah.
And
then I wanted to buy Rio. But Cora wouldn't sell it. So I went out on Highway 90 and looked for a piece of land and found one at Louis Rewa.
Okay. Now let's get back to the Rio Medina market. How many days a week were you open?
Well, at first we were home mostly every day.
Sundays too?
Sundays after church, oh yeah, that was a good morning after church. People come from church by me.
Uh-huh. So you grabbed that trade as it went by,
yeah,
too,
yeah.
All right. Where did you get your cattle from that you sold in your market?
From the neighbors.
Well, did you have to butcher them yourself?
Staffled, what they call scaffold care butchering, under any tree.
Did you do this yourself?
Oh, yeah. Butcher them, just shoot them and butcher them under a tree there.
Mm-hmm.
One here and one there. In them days, most people had milk cows yet, and they had milk calves.
Mm-hmm.
The grain fed and milk.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were ready, about 10 months old, they said, "We got a calf. Want it, all right? Butcher it."
So, you didn't have packing house meat, you just went out to the
just
forest?
Just went out and butchered them. Wherever there was one, I butchered them.
So you didn't have any help, you did all of this yourself?
No, a bunch of them. Like Buddy Bandler worked for me twice, before he went to war and afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny O. Woods worked for me. Mm-hmm. Quentin Bandler worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one time Lester Bain, J.T. Bain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all them kids that worked for me, you know. Well, the first year we peddled meat yet.
Oh,
from one house to another.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, that's a doozy. First, you know, your meat's not cooled out too good.
Yes.
Kill it. And we peddle it twice a week. Then you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you start cutting that by hand. We didn't have to change all them days. But the meat by hand, well, and you had to leave before daybreak to go from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had a little hanging scale. Mm-hmm. You had that meat in a box. And you know good and well dust accumulates, you stuff like that. But everybody was waiting for the butcher. Buy some meat.
Well, you had a... What did you put the meat into? After you had it cut, what did you
just
do with
plates,
it?
Just plates.
All right, but did you have a pickup truck or describe what you put it
well,
into?
Well, we had one Chevrolet, kind of made like a little pickup.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Model A, just taking the back thing out, the rumble seat or whatever, and made a little box back there and put your meat in on platters. And then when the people come to buy meat, they come with a dish, with a pan.
Well, did you have ice in it?
No.
No ice?
Mm.
Really? Okay. I thought they'd have ice, but it kept. I guess it was real fresh.
Well, they had to, them women had to have the stove ready.
Couldn't wait till supper, huh?
No. You had to fry it pretty quick. Yes,
oh, well, how far did this route run?
No, I went all the way towards Queen,
mm-hmm.
and then I went up through there, the cliff, and come by, I went in where Raymond Habey lives, and over in there, went to Raymond Habey's, and then a little further up, I think is where I crossed, though, by Clarence Habey I crossed over, and by all the Stivings, and all the Stivings, Banky, on down. And then the Petrenga Road home again.
Well, I'm pretty sure, now that you mention it, I think you came by our house. I believe I can remember that
a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was first was Oscar and Ludwig, Sylvester,
yeah,
and so on down the line,
yeah.
And then Banky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I made that route, and muddy sometimes. Oh, boy. That was in 1940, that's the first year. We only paddled one year.
Uh-huh.
And then the war broke out.
Uh-huh.
And didn't paddle anymore then.
Well, okay, now, you said you stayed there 10 years. Okay, during this time, where did you go then? Did you go to dances? Did you go to horse races? What did you do?
And
for entertainment, yeah.
No, we go to chorus plays at Riverside. There were the two hot spots. Oh, yeah. Then we'd go other places, too, but mm-hmm. that were the two hot spots.
That's Cora Burrell's place,
yeah.
Cora's place. Okay, well.
In Riverside.
And that was what was, what went on there? What?
Honky tonking.
Honky tonk.
Mm.
Did you, and dancing?
Beer, yeah. Beer was cheap some days, you know. I still remember that when, you know, almost between every set, somebody wanted to buy them. How about a round? Well, I'll split one. You want to split? Yeah. And you'd split a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But no cups, just you drink and then I drink. Yeah.
And how late did these get-togethers last?
Sometimes till pretty late, almost daylight. See, them days they could sell beer all night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes it'd be 2-3 o'clock. And I'm a member of it, Medina Lake yet. They had dances. I think it was Rural Murray's. And we'd go up there to a dance. And, well, see, Janice was little.
Mm-hmm.
They had a room there. You lay them babies in there. And I still wonder why nobody came home with the wrong kit sometimes. Because everybody was pretty drunk. But
everybody was having a real good time.
Oh, yeah.
And Riverside, you said, was a hot spot?
Oh, yeah. Riverside, that was a hot spot for a while, too. Yeah.
That was...
The worst place in Riverside.
Well, did you go to any of the dances at the Mayflower Hall?
Not much. Oh, at Rio?
Yeah, at Rio.
Yeah, yeah, because Setch was running the hall that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know. And I helped Setch sometimes with the...
Setch bit?
Yeah. And Johnny Hoffman was floor manager. They run it because his boy played in it once. Johnny Hoffman was floor manager there for once.
Well, what did a floor manager do?
Well, kind of keep peace.
You mean he had to keep peace?
Well, sometimes, you know, like friend, you know, there was a boy. Maybe I shouldn't mention the name, but...
Well, don't mention the name, tell the story.
But he was one-eyed, you know. He had a bad eye.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, give back all your life.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I? And they were standing close together, and all at once, he knocked him down. And Johnny Hoffman came out. He says, fight him. Johnny Hoffman came out, and he says, Key, why'd you hit that boy? He says, he looked at me so crooked. Well, I guess so. The other boy had a bad eye.
So, well, were there a lot of fights? A lot of
not so many. As Queen was the main fighting place years ago. Had lots of fights at Queen.
What was the reason for the fights?
Well, I think mostly that they wanted to fight.
In other words, they just looked for it.
Yeah, just looked for it. Yes.
Well, would it be rivalry between two towns or something?
Well, like Castroville, there was used to be bad fights. Well, that was more rivalry, you know, one town against the other.
Mm-hmm.
But at Queenie, usually, I don't know, every time you went there was a fight, and it seemed like nobody tried to prevent it. He says, you all want to fight? Go down the creek. We shine with flashlights. Let's fight.
Well, then the law didn't interfere.
No, law didn't interfere, Queen. No. You want to fight? Fight. And you know what? Lots of them decided they didn't want to fight.
There was nobody there to hold them, huh?
No.
Oh. Did you ever go to any masquerade dances?
Yeah. I remember some of them. I didn't care for them.
You didn't? No, you didn't get in? You didn't mask?
No, I didn't. I masked once or twice, but I just didn't like it. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, did that go on very long, those masquerade parties?
Not too many years. No, I tell you what went on awful long in my younger days. It's house parties,
mm-hmm.
House dances.
Okay.
Where, Carla and Slim Abey and Joe Reef, they were the musicians.
Oh?
Yeah, Slim played the violin and Henry Carla the flute and Joe Reef the guitar. What did we snow deers, we called them. That was their leading, but they used to start the dance off.
Oh, that was their theme song.
Yeah.
Snow deer.
Snow deer. We called them snow deer. Mm-hmm. And we play, say, get notified. You have friends, it's like your house. We'd say, how about at your house next Saturday? All right. Then you take they'd already have the furniture on, the rocks rolled up, and you had a room there to dance in. And we dance sometimes till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Then we go to the next neighbor somewhere.
So you did a lot of that then for entertainment, going just to the neighbors' houses.
Yeah. It was in the probation, you know. Well, probation started in 1918 or something like that. And,
mm-hmm.
And I know we usually gave the musicians each one a quarter or something like that, a little bit. But if you had that 50 cents or 6 bits, you could have a hell of a good time.
Well, you said house parties. Were they ever surprise parties? Were there any surprise parties?
I don't think they were surprised. I think they usually notified them ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Josie Hans, they lived up there close by the siphon. Clemens Hagel, I believe, owns that land now.
Mm-hmm.
They lived up there, Johann, in a small frame house. And that time the Lindy Hop was so special. And we were up there and we were dancing that Lindy Hop, and I guess the whole house almost turned over. Anyway, the old people come in, he said, hold that down a little, we're trying to play dominoes and the dominoes fall over.
You must have been, must have really been dancing.
Yeah.
What other kind of dances did you do besides this Lindy Hop?
Well, it was mostly there. Well, later on, then we got Chotic and all that stuff. But for a while, most of it was Lindy Hop. Well, you know, in a little room, you can't waltz with a whole bunch of people.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Well, it's...